Good morning, this is Samuel, and Samuel will be our assistant during this conference. Right now, we want to welcome you all to this result presentation conference for the fourth quarter of 2017 for Argus Group. All lines have been placed in silent mode in order to avoid any background noise. After the speaker's comments, there's going to be a Q&A session. If you want to make a specific question in that moment, just press star followed by one on your telephone. Thank you. Now, I want to grant the word to Ms. Natalia Guerrero, who is the Investor Relations Director. The floor is yours. And good morning. My name is Natalia Guerrero, and I'm Investor Relations Director. We want to thank you for your participation in this call. We will be discussing the results from Argus Group for the third quarter 2017. With me, we have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Argus Group, Alejandro Piraita, VP of Corporate Finances for Argus Group, Camilo Abello, VP for Corporate Matters of Argus Group, Mauricio Osa, Odessa President, Pablo Arroyo, VP for Corporate Finances of Odessa, and Maria Clara Arisizabal, Manager for the Real Estate Business. This teleconference is being translated into English simultaneously. I wanted to remember that all our reports, information, and presentations might be found in Spanish and English in our investors portal in www.grupoargus.com. This same web page we've placed in the presentation that we'll be following during the teleconference. To download it, go to financial information section afterwards to report section where you'll find quarter four file called presentation 4T 2017. We want to invite you to go into this presentation, starting with slide number three. Let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, Group Argus President. Thank you, Natalia. Thank you for being with us during this presentation. We'll be speaking about the results for the last quarter 2017. I could summarize that this year was a very active year in the consolidation and the role that the holding has. And this period was marked by the dynamism and the strategic discipline, achieving significant results in strengthening of our three strategic businesses. Because of this, before going into the detail of the financial results for this period, I'd like to briefly go over the achievements that we've had during 2017. All these have been focused on maximizing the portfolio value that has become our central axis in our strategy. I'm focused on becoming a relevant business group infrastructure-wise in Colombia and in the region. We've been working in four main fronts over which I'd like to give detail of each one. The first is the growth that we've had in mergers and acquisitions, or also in strategic disinvestments that have been done strategically and profitably. We've done transactions that have reached 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos. If we take as reference our market portfolio value, that's 20.5 trillion, this represents a turnover over 6%. This is a number that clearly shows the dynamism that we've had in a portfolio management. Within the transactions that we include within this chapter, we can find, between others, the closure of the outbuying acquisition for 495 billion Colombian pesos, disinvestments in swaps in building support portfolio that reached 294 billion Colombian pesos, the cash flow generation that the real estate development business did for 182 billion Colombian pesos, and the Compa sale for 403 billion Colombian pesos. It's close to 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos when it comes to portfolio management. This type of operations allow us to reinsure the strategic focus and the value generation that we have as holding, understanding the dynamics of each business and efficiently allocating the capital that we have under our charge. Under this idea, we free capital through disinvestment of non-strategic sectors such as the port business and from the other side, to strengthen our presence in defined strategic sectors such as concessions and airport concessions. Second point would be the simplification and focalization of our portfolio in order to focus ourselves in three defined businesses. During 2017, we have also strongly worked in simplifying our business architecture in a way that our investors and the market in general could obtain a better visibility of our investments, a better perception of the value that we generate, and a portfolio that's much more aligned with our strategy. In this train of thoughts, we ended the purging of the Odense portfolio after implementing an ambitious disinvestment plan for close to 230 billion Colombian pesos. Let's remember how at the beginning of this year, Odense had within its portfolio around 16 projects with minority participations that we wouldn't have to control different types of businesses and concessions. At the end of 2017, portfolio for this business was composed for 7 concessions that are controlled and a co-controlled concession, 6 road concessions and 2 airport concessions with a relevant presence in Colombia, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, and Aruba. Speaking about the simplification of our portfolio, we want to highlight the strengthening process of the capital structure of the energy business that began in the second semester of 2017 and has ended in previous days. In this process, we carried out a very successful capital emission for close to 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos, opening once again the variable profit market emissions with about 4 years without having done so. And Arcos Group, in this case, subscribed close to 780 billion Colombian pesos, achieving a participation of a 53% in sales share. At the same time, we had an open market acquisition that Celsia launched in order to acquire close to 14% of the excess capital with a participation of about 10% that we had in this open market operation. This transaction that was done with the highest corporate government standards have allowed the simplification of the Grupo Argos investments in the energy business using Celsia as its main vehicle, at the same time that we're strengthening the capital structure of this company and will allow a better and more clear understanding of the market value given the recognition of the EPSIS stock that we want to for it to trigger a value waterfall for all the shareholders, for EPSIS shareholders, Celsius and Argos Group. Third, a focalized work highway is capturing synergies and implementing new business models. Besides the profitable business, the simplification and focalization of our portfolio, the synergy capture is one of the other key pieces that we have within our strategic bet in order to improve value. During 2017, we focused our efforts in starting Suma. It's a company that shares services for other business groups. With Suma, we materialized our strategy in terms of searching for strategy for profitability and efficiency, concentrating cross-cutting efforts within one vehicle for all the businesses while using the best standards, technological standards, we'll be able to capture benefits from all the business groups. 2017 has been first year of operations, and we've been able to achieve savings that are close to $20 million, and we have an ambitious goal of capturing $140 million in cross-cutting efficiencies for the next 3 years. Last, the promotion of financial and operational efficiency would be the fourth pillar in order to strengthen our strategy, both in our branch capital companies as well as in the holding company, where we focus in the optimization both for operational processes as well as for financial cycles. And we must say that we've advanced relevantly in order to make operations much more competitive and profitable. Concerning the competitiveness of the leverage structure Our management strategy was supported by the trust of the investors that during the year positively answered to the emission of fixed profit titles for the Argus Group companies for close to 2 trillion pesos and 1 trillion pesos in addition, if we count the recent emission that we have for $320 million placed by the Central American branch of Celsia in Panama for the optimization of the international indebtedness. This operation is the largest one that we've had in the recent history of the Panamanian market. We also want to highlight the emission of about 400 billion Colombian pesos made by Odensa, being the first one in 10 years in half the real sector, having a double A minus rating with an over-demand of 2.3 times. Also, operational-wise, I wanted to highlight the great effort done by our Argos Cements branch in its efficiency program called BEST. With this program, we turned that difficult dynamic of the Colombian cement prices into an opportunity in order to strengthen our operational processes and improve profitability after making savings of close to 460 billion Colombian pesos during 2017. We were able to improve the operational efficiency expressed in $11 per ton in lower cost, which gives our cement asset a much better position to keep on leading the Colombian market and keep on growing with the Americas. Moving on now to the next slide, and before proceeding with the details of the financial results, I wanted to highlight that Argos Group and Argos Cement received the Gold Class distinction in RobecoSAM Sustainability Yearbook, which places us as world leaders in best practices concerning sustainability. RobecoSAM's yearbook is a very important publication for international investors, which recognizes responsible and transparent management led by the most important companies of the world within different dimensions such as economic, social, and environmental. We received this recognition with great satisfaction, but with a huge responsibility, given that this reflects the conviction that we have concerning our businesses where we want to in favor of those sectors where we participate at. Our value generation goes further than the financial results and leads to more sustainable and prosperous societies. Now let's move on to Argos Group's results. After making a brief summary of the most relevant facts that happened during 2017, I wanted to invite you to consolidated financial results for Argos Group that you might find between slides number six and number eight. We will focus now in detailing the yearly figures, given that these results explicitly show the strategies that we've developed within our portfolio, where despite the fact that the cement business has gone through a difficult year, has been supported by good performance of our concession business that for last year contributed to about 19% of the consolidated EBITDA of the Argos Group, with a growth of 41% compared with last year, and that added to the historic improvement of sales profitability that has taken the energy business to EBITDA figures that are close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos and the strategic relevance of the port business disinvestments, both in portfolio focalization level as well as financial flexibility for the holding. Such way, we closed 2017 with an EBITDA that is the highest one that has been achieved by this business group in its history, that at the end of December 2017 reached 3.9 trillion Colombian pesos, going from an EBITDA margin of 25% to a 27% if we compare it with last year. These numbers confirm that the active management portfolio it's not just giving us a higher resilience in those changes of the industries where our businesses are being developed, but it's also developing a much more profitable portfolio. In terms of net profit, we should also highlight that this had a negative impact coming from deferred tax provisions for three businesses that, even though they don't represent a cash movement, do affect our results. Emphasizing this specific point, if you look at the consolidated tax of Argos Group, and if we separate the current tax from deferred tax, remember that current tax is that one that you pay in deferred tax. It's just an accounting annotation. We could see how the current tax, the one that's actually exercised within cash, this one's reduced only 14%, going from 547 billion Colombian pesos to 471 billion Colombian pesos. In the meanwhile, deferred tax, non-cash, goes from a benefit of 194 billion Colombian pesos in 2017 to 64 billion Colombian pesos, and making a delta of close to 250 billion Colombian pesos. We should also highlight that despite the tax increase that we just explained of a 52%, we should also highlight the good behavior of the controlling net profit that goes from 589 billion Colombian pesos to 611 billion Colombian pesos, with a growth of 4% compared with last year. And quarter results wise, it's important to note that its comparability with previous year is impacted due to two non-recurrent operations. First one was the sale of the portfolio sale registered in fourth quarter of 2016, that impacted our income in 374 billion Colombian pesos and 357 billion Colombian pesos, the cost. Second has to do with the register of two highways in the Dominican Republic, the ADN and the DTA. In that period, there was an effect of the Argos consolidation of 94 billion Colombian pesos. These two operations make necessary the purging of results if we'd like to analyze variations between both years. At this point, I wanted to reiterate that the nature of our management actions as active portfolio administrators show that our results have a special dynamism that obviously makes difficult comparing the short term the results. That's why we consider that the best way to analyze this longer term and more holistic analysis. Speaking about the consolidated numbers of the fourth quarter, I wanted to highlight that the group's incomes reached 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos. This means a 4% reduction compared with fourth quarter 2016. This drop is explained by 66 billion Colombian pesos of appraisals of land lots and buildings of the real estate business that has been done for the first time in the last quarter of 2016, and due to the reduction of financial incomes given to the operation done in the Sura Group and Bancolombia stock sale for a value of 374 billion Colombian pesos. And this action was done last quarter 2016. Despite this effect, that's a non-recurrent effect, it's important to emphasize that numbers show that for the second consecutive quarter, all our strategic businesses are presenting positive contributions, both at an income level as well as an EBITDA level, showing the good moment that the concessions and energy businesses are going through, and that the moderate trend in the cement sector recovery in Colombia is a constant that makes us work forward, and it's actually a trend that we've been observing since the third quarter last year. Speaking about the net profit, in consolidated results, we could see that there was a reduction close to 136 billion Colombian pesos in that quarter. That drop is explained in its totality by two factors. 50 billion Colombian pesos in Odinsa's profit, given the deferred tax provisions in the liabilities due to the compliance of the taxation reform that was done in Colombia, and $34 million, that for the case of cement, were the fruit of a lower deferred tax generated due to the reduction of the contributory tax that's applicable for Argos in the United States, and that as a tax reform went to a 35% to a 21%. It's also important to note that if these two effects affect negatively our net profit, does not mean that this is an effective outlay of our companies, but these are accounting movements that I could even say that for the case of the tax reduction in the United States will bring very important advantages in our free cash flow for the next upcoming years when we apply a lower taxation rate. Now let's move on to the financial results. Let's analyze them separately. You might find them in graph slide number 9. I would like to mention that given that the non-recurrent operations that we previously explained in those consolidated results were almost generated from the holding, such as the case of portfolio sale operations and the price also of the urban development business, its effects are multiplied and are clearly seen in the moment that we compare the quarterly information within the separate results report. That's why we should focus also our results or analysis in the annual results. Here, I would like to highlight three relevant numbers that confirm our achievements as a holding. First, the strengthening of incomes, strengthening of revenue. Second, the growth, profitability growth with an incremental EBITDA and withholding expenses that once we eliminate the non-recurrent ones and the impositive such as the real estate taxes, there's a trend towards a drop. And third, our net profit is increased over 30% if we compare it with 2016. Our revenue reached 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. This represents a 7% compared with 2016, compensating the negative contribution of the cement business compared with the participation method, with positive contributions of all the other businesses, as well as those disinvestments that were occurred during the period. If we observe the revenue trend during the life cycle of this business group, we could see that there has been a very healthy growth slope, more specifically the last 2 years, that we want to keep on strengthening with our management. We also positively advanced profit-wise with an annual EBITDA that reached 630 billion Colombian pesos, presenting a positive variation of a 19%. In terms of margins, we have numbers that increase more than 500 basic points compared with 2016, going from a 48 to a 53%. The profitability increase is also related with the expense and cost efficiency of the business. The businesses within the group have been doing so. With this exercise, even though separate expenses are placed in 165 billion Colombian pesos, it's worth to purge their structure. These expenses are explained by 92 billion Colombian pesos that are directly associated to merger acquisitions and disinvestments and restructurations and restructuring and depreciation projects. That's why they're closely linked to a cost more than an expense. More specific speaking about those operations, eliminating those effects, the expenses for the real estate businesses The administration expenses would be 33 billion Colombian pesos. That would have a drop of 4%, followed with that commitment of the PESA's organization. All these results are based in terms of profit that it goes up to a 30% year after year. Now, let's analyze the separate indebtedness that the holding has. This can be found in slide number 10. To December 2017, debt closing 1.57 trillion Colombian pesos, growing a 9% year after year. Given the substantial improvement of our EBITDA, we want to highlight that the net debt against adjusted EBITDA indicator is placed in 2.3 times, being one of the lowest leveraging levels that the group has had. This indicator added to 4.7 times of the operational cash flow over the interest shows the high flexibility that we've achieved through our annual management, which allows us to proceed with our growth strategy. At a cash flow level, we closed year with close to 300 billion Colombian pesos. This is fruit of this investment that reached 500 billion Colombian pesos, and they were source of leverage in order to leverage our growth strategy in the airport concession business, as our investment done of 495 billion Colombian pesos in order to acquire this part of Opain, strengthen cash with lower leverage and indicators, give us a comfortable position in order to proceed in our route of strengthening our three strategic businesses. Now, I want to invite you the main advancements that we've achieved in the operational businesses, both concessions, cements, energies, and real estate. Let me start by Odinsa, and wanted to welcome Dr. Mauricio Osa, is here with us, and Dr. Pablo Abuelo, he is the president and CEO of Odinsa, who is with us. And we want to highlight, as one of the most important milestones of this quarter, being able to obtain the first disbursement for the fourth generation project, the Pacifico 2 project, and financing of about 1.3 billion Colombian pesos. This turned the La Pintada concession into the fifth project of the 4G program that has been able to agree on those disbursements under those credit contracts, and it was the first project to access international financing from a Canadian investment fund, first-level Canadian investment fund, such as CDP QIS. As well, we delivered the national and international airport docks with a new area of 51,000 square meters, which allows to increase in the capacity up to 40 million passengers per year. This investment done between voluntary and complementary works reached 420 billion Colombian pesos. In this last stage, six gates were added, three VIP rooms were added, and more than 25,000 square meters of new commercial areas, which allow new 30 brands to be part of this airport business. These works have allowed El Dorado to count with a total area of 224,000 square meters to connect more than 31 million passengers in 47 national destinations and 49 international destinations. Finally, Variante de La Paz started working. This was part of the Autopista de Cofe concessions, which is part of the Adaptation Fund works. These activities done during this time had an investment over 32 billion Colombian pesos. This construction is constituted or becomes a very important regional and national solution, which makes roads safer and avoid landslides that we might find in the Chinchina municipality. Nationally speaking, Odessa registers for the fourth quarter an increase, a road increase of 3%, and a reduction in passenger traffic close to a 9%. This reduction is mainly explained by a reduction of the passenger traffic in El Dorado Airport due to the restrictions due to the strike of the Avianca pilots during this fourth quarter. Road concessions registered more than 75,000 vehicles on average per day, while the airport concessions registered an accumulated total of 36 million passengers. We also must say that during the year there was no reduction in total passenger traffic. It was close to 36 million between the Bogota airport and the Quito airport. It's a very similar number if we compare last year, despite the important reduction that we had in the fourth quarter, or the strike of the Avianca pilots that we had in Bogota. Now moving on to slide number 15, in terms of revenue, Odinsa at a consolidated level registered 237 billion Colombian pesos. This means a reduction of 76% if we compare it with 2016, the first quarter of 2016. We should also mention that those revenues registered in 2016, they had three non-recurrent effects that should be purged in order to compare the operation. First of all, we have the valuation of the Dominican Republic concessions for the Nordeste and Boulevard Turístico highways. Second, we should also bear in mind the revenue that we received due to the participation of the construction concession for La Pintada concession that was also done that last year. And third point would be the deconsolidation of the operational units in Gena and Genpac, which were the Pacific and Atlantic generators that were sold in 2017. In total, and bearing this effect in mind, the addition of these three would be around 747 million Colombian pesos in EBITDA. So if we remove this non-recurring effect that was registered in the fourth quarter of 2016, the revenue would have presented an increase of 1% compared year with year. EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2017 was of 173 billion Colombian pesos for a reduction of 78%. That is explained due to the non-recurrent effects that we have previously mentioned. When we exclude these previous effects, EBITDA increases to 143%, going from 15 billion Colombian pesos to 173 billion Colombian pesos. The best EBITDA performance is mainly explained due to a larger recognition of the Autopista de la Bestia highways in the Dominican Republic due to the reappraisal of the financial asset, which led to an EBITDA increase for the first quarter of 752%. The net profit reached 24 billion Colombian pesos, impacted by those effects that we've previously explained. Moving on and to the cement business, next slide. I would say that 2017 was, without no doubt, a challenging year for the company, but full of positive advancements for the company. We want to highlight the adaptation capacity that the Argot has had, with those tangible results associated with a better efficiency and with a better leadership within the market that actually for December were represented in a cost reduction of $11 per ton. The company was able to advance in its disinvestment program for non-strategic assets and non-operational assets with the objective of becoming much more competitive and profitable towards the future. The disinvestment plan results reached $82 million and include the recent sale of the concrete block production business in Florida, as well as in Georgia, as the totality of the stocks of the Bancolombia portfolio. As well, we're advancing in the disinvestment of three energy generation plants. This is an operation that we want to close the first quarter of this year. Now, moving on to volumes on slide number 18, The cement dispatches for the consolidated Argos cements were imposed in 80%. This was that made by the U.S., which increased in 52%, 20% if we exclude the effect of those dispatches down from the Martinsburg plan, as well as the cement volume of the Central American and Caribbean region that has been imposed by a volume increase of an 8% in Honduras and of 5% in Panama. Concrete actually was affected by climate effects in its volumes due to the hurricanes that we had in the U.S. and in the Caribbean. The revenue for this quarter is 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos. They increased 5% year after year, while the administrative expenses and sales, if we exclude depreciation, were reduced in a 4.5% at a consolidated level and a 6% for the Colombian region during the same period, aligned with that commitment of adapting a higher efficiency. Adjusted EBITDA excluded indemnizations due to the PES program was of 375 billion Colombian pesos. This represents a reduction of 5.6% compared with last year, but it also reflects the strength of those actions that the group has taken. We also want to highlight that for this quarter, the Colombian region had the highest EBITDA margin of 2017. 21%, which obviously shows the results of those efforts that we've done around efficiency. Net profit-wise, this is effective due to those effects that we have previously mentioned, effects that happened within the market, as well as those effects that we had with the best programs, and as well as those impairment decisions due to the deferred tax and due to that taxation reform in the United States. We also have very positive expectations around the recovery of the Colombian price market prices that ended with an increase of 4%, the consolidation of our presence in the Central American market, and the growth opportunities of the United States economy, where we have strengthened our position due to the acquisition of the Martinsburg plant. Now, let me invite you to go over the energy results. This can be found between slides 21 and 24. As you might see, the financial and operational behavior for Celsia presents positive evolutions in all levels. The rich EBITDA for 2017 is the highest one that the company has reached, and it was a total of 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos of revenue, which reached 3.1 billion, and a net profit of 149 billion Colombian pesos. In transmission and distribution, we finished that third project for the Cinco Caribe project, the construction of the substation in Monteria of 110 kilowatts and 1.5 kilometers of distribution line. Up to date, we've executed 199 billion Colombian pesos from 450 billion Colombian pesos that we've planned for this project. Moving on to slide number 22, I want to invite you to check the operational numbers, where we can see an increase both in generation that reached 1,796 gigawatts per hour, fruit of a better contribution of EPSA that increased its generation in 57%, as well as in the energy sales for 2,232 megawatts per hour for the first quarter, pulled by the increase of the spot market sale. The consolidated revenue was of 824 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 4% compared with the same period of 2016, despite lower energy prices that we found in Colombia for that quarter. The company has reached an EBITDA of 309 billion Colombian pesos, which represented 21% more than last year, favored by the good performance of the Central American operations, a better or a more efficient operation in Colombia, stability in the distribution business, and stability in the commercialization business. We want to highlight that good result of the EBITDA margin for this first quarter was 38%. Today, Celsia begins a new chapter in its life after making a very successful share emission for about 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos that had an over demand of 1.4%, which allowed to increase its participation in EPSA up to a 61.3%, strengthening its position in respect to this very important asset, while strengthening its capital structure, adding relevant resources in order to bet on those non-conventional energy synergies in Colombia. For Argos Group, this operation is without no doubt a clear manifestation of our corporate DNA, where we were able to carry out a very successful financial operation acting under the highest ethical and corporate governance standards. More specifically, when we speak about how do we treat our minority shareholders to whom we've focused our efforts in order to respect and to promote their participation with this operation, in order for them to trust our business, to trust Celsia and our business group. So I want to welcome them all. I want to extend my recognitions. Real estate business. Now, let me invite you to move on to slides number 26 and 27, to briefly share with you the advancements that we've had in this real estate business. Bankia, we want to highlight Bankia, then since it was being constituted, had annual yields of 7.55% with an actual unit value, an equity value that corresponds to the Argos Group participation within that fund that reaches 724 billion Colombian pesos for the end of 2017. Bankia keeps advancing in that gross rentable area that for fourth quarter 2017 was close to 721,000 square meters, representing an increase of 43% compared with last year. The assets under this administration added 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos and represented operational incomes for 69 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 50% compared with last year, with a consolidated EBITDA that reached 29 billion Colombian pesos. For the fourth quarter, the urban development business had new businesses for 12 billion Colombian pesos, which represented the sale of 8,400 square meters, which at 56,000 square meters that were sold during 2017. We want to highlight the generation of cash flow of this division that reached 182 billion Colombian pesos during the year, aligned with that objective that we had traced for this exercise. At the same time, I want to highlight the obtained advancements in enabling norms and licenses that improve the position and the value of our land lots. More specifically, in Barranquilla, with the Rio Mar and Sono ordering plan that enabled the development of 223 hectares of the Pavas Molina land lot, while in Barú, we were able to obtain a license for our land lots of 1,094 hectares. As a conclusion, and before opening the Q&A session, I'd like to highlight that the previous year, 2017, was for Argos Group a year of consolidation, strategy consolidation. The operations of non-strategic asset disinvestments and the strengthening of our core businesses and a high presence at the airport sector are coherent with that north that we have previously defined that has actually been showing results in terms of portfolio profitability. And throughout the future, we keep with a positive and optimistic vision within the infrastructure business that we hope that will grow over the Colombian GDP as well as the American GDP. I want to thank you all for your attention, and I'm sorry for my voice. I have a cold, and give the word to the operator so we can proceed now with the Q&A session. Thank you. Well, right now, I'd like to remember you all that if you have any questions, please press star followed by one. Your keynote dial star one. First question comes from Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Hello to everyone. Thank you, Jorge Mario, for your presentation. I have a couple of questions, and just I'll leave to your consideration if you want to answer them all or not. First of all, we are aware that you are a very active holding, which makes quarter results and comparisons difficult due to those non-recurrent effects that you mentioned. I would like to ask you, through the incomes, through the participation method, is there any way that we could have a pre-form revenue, excluding those effects, those taxation effects, that will allow us to have make a comparison between the last quarter of 2016 and last quarter of 2017. Second question, Impactia, with that increase in your gross rentable area for Impactia, speaking about San Carlos Uno Lat acquisition, can you tell us how is the occupation factor within this area? And last, my last question is more about upcoming quarter, speaking about the EPSA's shares. So it's clear that the shares you sold will generate a profit in the first quarter. But nevertheless, I want to ask you about those shares that you didn't sell. These shares, when they're reappraised at 18,900 pesos, that's much higher than the price that you had before, is there going to be, there's going to be a P&L impact due to portfolio reappraisal? Well, Federico, thank you. Well, we just want to make a proposal. If you agree with me, there's some topics, more specifically the first one where you speak about base purging, that is important to clarify. Well, that one, and we can share that with everyone, we could prepare a graph where we could explain that specific purging for those terms in order to make it much more precise and not just with rounded figures, and we could just share it with you for Natalia, and that way this could be much clearer for you. But just let me speak about last question before speaking about Banker's question, speaking about EPSA's value. I want to say two things here, more specifically about that transaction before giving the word to Alejandro, if you could tell us better about those effects and that accounting challenge that we find during this first quarter once we go into that open market operation, and more specifically with the price of that rest of 2%. So we'll give you these numbers in a couple of minutes, but more effectively, as I said during the call, the operation that was done following completely that governance code and following obviously our respect towards the board members that took decisions based on certain investment banks in order to establish the values not just of the EPSA share but also at a fixed Celsius share. We could say that we are satisfied with them with two things, because first of all, this is an operation that's very important for the country because it revitalizes the market, the share market, the stock market. And second, because it's done following our best practices, more specifically to respect the shareholders of our three shareholders of three businesses in order for them to see the value reflected. Besides, this message conveyed a strengthening message that we're strengthening our energy business, that we will have very important resources to develop in order to develop business plans for the future. And for Arcos Group, this means unifying our energy portfolio. It allows us to have better structure and taxation and operational benefits. But besides that, and answering your question, Well, one of the most important facts there is that there's a very important value revelation for all the shareholders. Shares of these operations that were acquired in 2009 have been generating a constant value for shareholders, and they're doubled with the historic value that we had. In the case of Argus Group, for example, that's the one I could speak for the most. It's a very important value explosion, but the value expression, sorry. But here are three levels where this happens. The Celsia Associates, there's it's obviously an asset appraisal. There's a mark-to-market of their investment. Celsia, a consolidated participation of 61%, also makes a value capture and being able to reflect this in their financial results with a higher EPSA value. And Argus Group makes a double value capture because it protects the value in its shares when they're sold, but besides that, in the participation they have over Celsia and over EPSA. So the beauty of all this is that besides strengthening Celsia, there's a value revelation done, and the cascade value revelation that's obviously reflecting Argus Group in all the different areas of Argus Group. So I'll give Alejandro the floor now, and he can maybe specify more about this question. Well, thank you, Federico. Well, speaking about participation method, about your first question, I wanted to emphasize some two things. First, it is very important when we speak about participation method, right, to speak about what happens in the separate one and the consolidated one. When you are asked for a pre-form, the participation method within the consolidated, you can take companies as a Sura Group or Nutresa Group, separate case, what we have within that participation method are consolidated companies such as Cementos, such as Celsius, such as Odinza. So there it's very important. When you want to make those preforms, you need to be clearly specify if the preform is done over the separate or over the consolidated one. That's one thing. And another thing is also very important to understand the nature, as it was mentioned by Jorge Mario. Because in 2016, we also had elements that were special. So if we affect one year and leave the other one the same, it's complex. About the transaction, first thing I would mention about the transaction is the effect of selling the shares in Celsia. This affects the separate but not the consolidated, because in the consolidated one, EPSA was already within Celsius numbers. Well, in the separate one, we will be able to obtain a profit due to the sale of those shares. Let's remember that the number of shares that we sold were 43.6 million shares, and the cost that we had in our books was 8,455 Colombian pesos, and this would be around 293 billion Colombian pesos. And product of the sales of those shares, we're speaking about 655 billion Colombian pesos, and generated a profit in sales around 263 billion Colombian pesos. This would be the effect that we would find a separate one. But nevertheless, I want to clarify something. And first, remember that within that transaction, and actually was part of what Jorge Mario was mentioning, and the importance of having a corporate governance, that the cash effect for us, for that transaction, is zero. And in the measure that we gave EPSA shares and we received EPSA shares, and that even with Celsia shares, in order to maintain our participation without alteration, we had to make a draft of 172 billion Colombian pesos. Okay, let me give you the word, Maria Clara, so she could speak about the industrial park. Well, if I think about the industrial park, we have an occupation of 92% of those 134 square meters that we have. Thank you. Thank you. Just wanted to mention two things, Alejandro, what you mentioned, Jorge Mario, you said. Well, those 262 billion Colombian pesos, those are for the shares that you sell, the extra shares you sold. Let me ask you about those you can sell. Is there going to be an increase due to the reappraisal of the portfolio? And second, obviously, it's difficult. Those incomes due to participation methods would be more individual, not the consolidated ones. Well, speaking about the stocks that we still have, there's other types of effect. Shares keep with that same treatment and with that same participation method, so there's not that additional effect there. Okay, thank you very much. Next question comes from Carlos Rodriguez from UltraSet5. Hello, Henry, Mario, and gentlemen, thank you for the conference. Two questions. One has to do with Audiencia and Auto Pacific Cafe. I'd like to know if you could give us an update of what's happened with the arbitration that's going around, arbitration tribunal around that concession. Second question, I'd like to know about your opinion about the continuity of these Argos Cement's dividends, even though they didn't make any profit in 2017. Due to the accounting effect of the deferred asset in the United States, in addition to 2017, it was a very complicated year for Argos Cement. Thank you. Well, thank you, Carlos, and both questions are very relevant. Speaking about AKF, this is of utmost priority for us. I give the word to Mauricio Orsa so he could give you a better light about this. We're waiting for the ruling. This will happen in the beginning of March. We have the ease of having contributed all the proofs and documents and arguments of our models in order to defend our position in maintaining that concession service. We feel completely solid in the arguments that we've presented, but let me give the word to Mauricio so he could speak a bit more of how we've been advancing in this process. Later on, I'll come back with the dividend policy for the cement business. Good morning, Carlos. Mauricio is speaking. As what he just mentioned, the 20th of December last year, all the process phase ended for the arbitration tribunal. So at that time, we were able to contribute with our proofs and documents and expert works, contracted with financial experts in order to support our argumentation based on the fact the concession goes up to December 2017, and that those agreements that we reached in the first concession that had actually been approved in 2004 by experts was completely supported. In the conclusion, discussions gives a judges a possibility of deliberating, and we're waiting results for the 5th of March. What has happened also during this time is that the controller's office, which supports the tribunal, produces the 22nd of January a concept concerning the controversy and the opinion of the controller's offices that the controversy, that there is no space for controversy because we were right in the way that we explained and the way that we defended ourselves. But there's also, I mentioned that some of the elements that were included within the lawsuit were resolved in 2004, certain elements. And recently, last week, Thursday or Friday, the clip was Thursday or Friday, the controller's office opened a file due to patrimonial detriment, due to the way that the excesses of tolls were given away. Well, remember that last year, this was something that the controller's office was mentioning. This file is in a phase that takes about 4 weeks more, but the explanation in the 373 document report shows that the file supported. This basically explains that the part had agreed legally the way that this if excesses would be applicable. So just wanted to say that we are under the expectation, but we feel sure of the work that we've done and very optimistic of the results that we might obtain. Now, speaking about the dividends and dividend policy for Argo Cement, I just wanted to make the following comments. Well, clearly, the board, the cement board, has done a very thorough analysis about the company's situation, about market trends, more specifically about the cash perspective and position that the company has towards 2018. Remember that dividends are given based on separated results, not consolidated, but also bearing in mind the reserves position that the company might have, the cash position that might attend this dividend. So attending this analysis, understanding the capex needs that we have and the projections that we have in each one of our businesses, the board recommended or will recommend this proposal to the assembly in order to add a 5% in the ordinary payments that were done to the shareholders. And I emphasize in the word ordinary because last year the company had gone over this dividend that was proposed for two concepts, an ordinary dividend and an extraordinary dividend. The ordinary dividend was the one that corresponded to normal company's operations, and the extraordinary dividend had to do with the disinvestment of the 20% sale of the Panama's participation that had important surpluses. So we considered giving those shareholders part of that surplus due to the effective sale of done in 2016. That's why we decreed this as an extraordinary dividend, because it obeyed to that particular condition. Obviously, that condition doesn't exist anymore. So the discussion is around the increase of the ordinary dividend. And in that sense, the board is proposing, as I mentioned, an increase of 5%, independent from the separate P&L position. There's enough reserves that the company has been constituting throughout its history, which allows the company to offer a recognition to all of the shareholders of the company. If you look at the growth of this dividend, basically, Argos has always had a dividend growth over inflation in terms of long-term mean. The last 2 years, it's two times. This means that Argos pays their shareholders twice as much as the inflation, and PO ratio is in 50%. So it's been a tradition of the company to give 50% of our benefits, and this allows soften the P&L effects in a certain given moment. It also maintains a policy that we believe that's a healthy policy of a distribution of about, in 2017 would be 22% of the generated EBITDA, and cash flow that's broad enough with the capex needs and with the projection, generation projection of 1.9 trillion Colombian pesos of EBITDA for 2017. So the concrete answer is yes, we'll keep our position, we'll keep the cash, and we will maintain the perspectives of positive generation for 2018. Okay, thank you, Jorge Mario. Thank you, Mauricio. Next question, Angie Rodriguez from Davivienda. Hello. Two questions. First one is related, if you could maybe explain the strategic rationale by which you kept that small participation in EPSA. I don't know if this has to do something with taxes. Maybe if you could tell us or explain to us this. And second is with the route grid of El Meta. I've understood that there's reviews being done with ANI, and bearing in mind that the traffic of this concession is under the one that we had specified within the contract. Are you under the expectation of reevaluating this year, or when are you expecting to have results? Do we expect a reversal for this concession this year? And my second question is related with land lot sales. Have you thought about selling land lots for this year, bearing in mind the appraisals that were done? Thank you. More specifically, those appraisals in Barranquilla. Well, thank you, Andy. We'll take this question by parts. Answer this question by parts. Well, I believe that mid and long term, and more specifically in the short and midterm, all the Argos Group participation in EBSA will be negotiated with Cynthia. Well, there's certain considerations there, some planning considerations that, and financial considerations that took us or led us to this action that Alejandro mentioned, but in the short term, probably we'll be able to sell all this. I believe this is a very important space. It's very important for other shareholders for them to place the totality of their shares, such as the CSR Ministry of Finance. So there's always a possibility in the short term, attending the best optimization and flexibility situations that Argos might lead in order to give away that participation where we don't require an open market operation. So the concrete answer is that the short midterm, probably that participation will end up in Celsia. Speaking about El Meta's road grid, Mauricio maybe could speak better about this. You can tell us about the advancements, about the arbitration tribunal, the cases that the company is following, and how this process has advanced. Well, thank you, Jorge. Well, answer goes as follows. In December 2016, maybe these last two weeks, and this was an arbitration tribunal that acquired competences in January this year. Through this arbitration tribunal, we pretend, coming back to what we call a contract equilibrium, when there is a traffic drop due to a lower oil production has led to an impact. So what we should wait for is for this arbitration tribunal to produce, and after the evaluations, a ruling, we believe that this might take between 12 to 18 months, starting from the date. In the time in between, we've complied with all the requirements, and right now we've done a proposal to the Infrastructure National Agency to broaden the pre-construction phase and keep on doing certain maintenance works at the zone in order to show activity or to have activity. I mentioned this concerning the question that you said, the possibility of reversals. We're not trying for this possibility. We're not looking for this possibility with the tribunal. And we want to have a contractual equilibrium that will allow us to execute the work as we want to do at the beginning and as we plan on doing after we have this ruling. Okay, so there would be an additional question. Can you tell us how much has been contributed to El Meta's work with equity and debt-wise to the moment? Well, debt-wise, we have no debts, and equity-wise, we've honored our equity commitments. And we have numbers around 170 billion Colombian pesos. All shareholders, we should also remember that we have a 51% participation there. And I also wanted to highlight that despite this fact, this will take about a year and a half. And we've tried to find a conciliation between parts. Okay, now let me give the word to Maria Clara so she can speak about lands. And in terms of cash flow for next year, we're expecting about a sales for about 140 billion Colombian pesos. When you exclude the Alameda del Rio effect, this means an increase of 25% for next year. In terms of P&L, you should bear in mind that, as you mentioned, the POZ had the price or higher than average, is it increased the in, increased the possibility of building from 23,000 households to 40,000 houses. So it will be a normalization in the land appraisals the next year, and that will lead to a lower profit in the P&L. Thank you. Next question, Daniel Guardiola, BTG I have a couple of questions. Good morning. 2017 has been a very active year for you in terms of unlocking value from portfolio and profitabilization. Now, ask what's coming for 2018 in terms of growth and portfolio profitabilization, and if you could give us specific details of what are you planning or what are your strategy for value generation in Pacaya, Opaien, and Odin. So that would be my first question. And my second question, also the presentation, I don't know if you've spoken about this during the call. I kind of got here a bit late. If you could give us a bit more details of plan of synergy capturing, the Suma plan, and what does this imply? Does this imply reducing the LG&A of the company? What types of synergies could be created between branches? Maybe if you could speak a bit more about those $20 million savings, or have these been captured already, or how much are you expecting for the future? Well, thank you, Daniel. Very deep questions. I'll start my last question, and from there we could just end with the first one. And obviously, we could drill down as much as you want. Oh, yeah. As I was mentioning before, Suma is an initiative done by a competence center and shared service center for all of the businesses from the group. All those group business companies grew mainly by acquisitions. The particular case, or the most tactical case, was with cement, a purchasing company, or purchasing plants that at the same time had the structures, senses, accounting, cash flow, accounting records, information reports, contracting, human talent systems. So what we've defined is the Suma implementation. It's basically a shared service society for all companies. So here we have Cementos, we have Spencia, we have Audience, we have Opaien, we have our holding, and they are developing a program that takes 4 years. It was supported by Accenture with best practices in order to implement the most better process, the most efficient and best processes in terms of synergies and procurement, everything that has to do with human talent, recruitment, payroll, accounting, replenishment, and processes, basic processes, basically, different businesses have. The idea in this competency center is centralizing everything that has to do with banks, and then the business can focus on their front business, on their core business, be it the market, focus their energy in strategic development and commercial development of their value proposals. That 20 million capture was done in the first year of implementation. It was a gradual process, and that will end with captures we mentioned before. That will be close to $140 million in total. Headcount for the group dropped 838 people compared with last year. There was a migration to the Suma businesses, but the reduction of our total headcount from the businesses between Cement, Celsia, Odinsa, and Argos Group is 838 individuals. So when you look at efficiency indicators, which are relevant in all the businesses, the cement businesses already, at least in that business I already mentioned, but this is also applicable to the rest of the businesses, and this is what allows this margin explosion and those combined margins for new business. So there's huge opportunities there to make those types of captures, more specifically in procurement. So I guess that's probably the most important one. So cement business by, let's say, bulldozer, the lubricants. So maintaining the independence of each one of the companies, it's a collaborative governance what we're looking for in order to complement that synergy of being a group. Being a group adds obviously a very important type of value. So this it could be, we could drill down this even more, but in strategic terms, that's the rationale that we have behind this. Focusing on the front businesses and focusing on procurement and back office. Well, before moving to the second question, making the operation more efficient, what types of plans do you have in holding wise? It seems that you're trying to centralize in back office from different subsidiaries from different branches. But the other part I'd like to know is the holding. What efficiency plans are at a holding company level? Well, the holding has also been following the same path. I'll give the word to Alejandro so he could share with us some data that we've done have, comparison data that we've done with other equity managers or passive investments. Argos Group has a very important reduction in the expenses that are attributed to the holding the last 3 years. A real reduction catering would be 4 years in the last 3 years. Now, we need to consider that the way that these expenses are presented within the holding, we include all the expenses that have to do with the real estate business. The plan is exactly the same and it's completely replicable at a holding level. I'll ask Alejandro, right next to me, if you could just tell us a bit more about the details. Here I have some numbers. Operational expense for the holding is 73 billion Colombian pesos for 2017. Real estate was 46 billion Colombian pesos. Now, there are some positions that in some cases go to the expense, sometimes go to the cost. This has to do with processes, for example, the disinvestment of an asset such as Compass or the emission of debt titles. These are expenses that have to do with specific groups that at the same time have an income generation or revenue generation. But the expenses have dropped 3.9% the last 3 years and keep following that specific trend. I don't know if Alejandro wants to compliment a bit about this point. Yeah, just complimenting. There's two things here. Well, first, following Jorge's analysis, I believe that we need to make a very important analysis here, and that's the expenses that Argos Group has, for example, in urban development business. This is something that's more a product, a structure product, or our own efficiencies type of product. Second is the expense that's attributable to the portfolio management. And the other would be the expenses coming from any other transactions we carry out. If we compare this from a conceptual point of view, should be an expense. It costs more than an expense, but these are taken to the expenses. But if you analyze this and you take what Grupo Argos is in a holistic manner, or if you take Argos Group and you add the urban development in respect with the assets that we have under administration, that value could be 0.68 up to 0.8% of the assets under administration. When you compare this, for example, with passive funds, not active funds, funds such as passive funds, for example, JP Morgan Equity, or for example, Fidelity. The average of those administration portfolios would be 0.82. That means that we're under. And the way that we should be compared is with active portfolios, not with passive portfolios, given our nature. And if you, for example, go under active portfolios, that's private equity, fees such as assets under administration are around 1.5 to 2% of assets under administration. So this is a little bit about what we speak with in comparison. Another thing that Jorge mentioned that's very important is the trend that we're showing from an administrative expense point of view. That's a decrease in real terms, and I believe that's the fundamental point. Now, Daniel, let me move on to the first question. It would be a bit longer. I'll start by this strategy. Now, this is an organization, as Alejandro said, it's an active holding that actively and decisively participates in our business development. The value generation strategy happens in two ways. First way is through the promotion of a better operational result, efficiency, and cash flow maximization in the strategic and portfolio businesses that we have. And later on, I'll speak about the actions that we're taking here, because all that efficiency and that better improvement to the active participation in the direction of the businesses allows us to have an incremental flow and dividend flow towards the holding. And second, value generation is the capital allocation between businesses, the expansion actions or growth action or disinvestment and reuse in capital reuse character invest and value generation opportunities. Examples we did last year, we disinvested in the business, which is a port business, 25% and 25 times the EBITDA has resources that will be leveraged in order to grow in the airport infrastructure business. So two parallel highways, all of them grouped through around a holding that act that decisively and actively acts in coordination with all the businesses in order for all the structure, all the planning structure, all the capital structure can be done in a coordinated manner following that structure. I could take much longer, but I just want to make like a synthesis, a summary of the particular strategies of each one of the businesses. In Odinsa, for example, we're focalizing the opportunity of growth in the airport business, promoting private initiatives that have to do with the airport expansion, the Bogota airport expansion, and the aeronautic system in Bogota. This is ambitious bet, long-term bet, high value generation bet, and we want to have high bet here, both in Oakland's equity as well as in the value generation, starting from this initiative of this El Dorado needs to go from 40 million passengers to 75 million passengers. And what we're proposing is a development plan that will not exclude the construction of the second airport, but that will leverage the project within that, based on that existing airport and building a second terminal. Once the country needs it, once we're able to do this efficiently, we're also having a private initiative in the Atlantic Coast for airports, and we're building two initiatives, greenfield for semi-roads, semi-urban roads in Bogota, Savannah. So there's a brown and greenfield projects also that we're working on for the concession business. We're also close and trying to look for a strategic business partner that can support us in this in order to empower the capacity of the concession business. The rationale here is that the need of the passenger growth will go to 270 we'll have to move from 267 million passengers to more than 600 million. That means that there's 2.5 times growth in GDP. You know, this the maximization strategy has to do with two things. First, it's an optimization effort based on improving the actual energy matrix, improving the efficiency. Let me give you a clear example of that. We just finished working in this very important work in Chicago, where we increased the capacity up to 30 more megawatts. With a marginal investment, we increased 30 megawatts the capacity. And like that one, there are several others developing several centrals, such as the San Andres Central that we're building right now, with a very ambitious plan in order to use the society structure of those fiscal benefits that give EPSA and CELSIA that option of becoming a relevant player in non-traditional energy sources. And their project will generate about 250 megawatts this year for photovoltaic parks. And that seems very interesting due to the depreciation value that we can obtain, or the depreciation speed that we can obtain in this project. I believe that in cement, it has been widely discussed, which the huge growth possibilities within the American market. Best project, the Colombian optimization process, will also bring to the U.S. an improvement potential efficiency-wise. We're offering the creation of new businesses around the cement business, as well as the aggregate business, as well as the Greco business that were announced a couple of days ago. So it's going to be two ways where we can strengthen our efficiency, our cash generation, and use the best opportunities that we find in the U.S. Not from an operational point of view, from an acquisitional point of view, we keep looking at opportunities in order to strengthen the concession business. We also look at opportunities and growth opportunities in the energy sector, more specifically in distribution, where we are very interested. And with all that, and with careful work, we won't be giving up that opportunity of developing those business platforms that we've created. These are unique and very important platforms within the Americas in order to search for opportunities or opportunities with new players. It's a bit long of an answer, but I believe it was worth it. Strategy is based on those two fundamental pillars: efficiency, flow maximization, and capital and selective capital reallocation, following our financial discipline, supported by a culture of austerity. With energy captures, all this empowers flow maximization. And at the end, this also means a stronger capital within the company and a higher return for investments. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Just let me ask you last one question. This may be more for Alejandro. If you look at the cash generation, the current cash that the company has is around $100 million. And if you follow the logics of the strategy, will be in an active holding, it's not as efficient having such large cash in the balance. So just want to know, how can you be, what are you planning to do with this cash, and how can you be more optimal with this cash? Actually, we don't have $100 million anymore. We've been extremely efficient in cash management. From those $100 million, we use $130 in the Celsius process in order to maintain our share participation. And in this moment, in cash, we have around 135 million Colombian pesos, and that this will be used in a series of projects that we're going over. Just wanted to mention here two things. First, in terms of cash generation, this holding has been having a very important strengthening in the measure that dividends have been showing a significant increase. So today, and when we speak about dividends and dividends received, and we have a cash excesses, which actually lead to larger financial flexibility, and also from the real estate business, as it was mentioned by Maria Clara earlier, this obviously leads to additional sources of income that, by tradition, this is a portfolio that will be giving us cash constantly. And part of our objective is obviously to relocate that capital in the most efficient manner, focused on core businesses and basically on projects that in a certain way will be clearly value generators. And we have been very selective in the way that we invest this capital. Within the pipeline, there's several big expansion projects that are being studied. I prefer not being very specific with them because these are projects, right? And they do require a certain level of confidentiality. But there's flexibility, as Alejandro said, just the capacity. And there are very important topics, organic growth-wise, and the growth of the platform will require, obviously, with the being very strategic and following our financial. At this moment, we have no more questions. Now we want to give the word to our panel members for concluding remarks. Thank you all for being with us here, and good day for you all. This would be the end of today's conference, so we want to thank you all for your participation. Now you can disconnect from the conference.